This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Nikita Koloff here, questions and answers, Q&A with Koloff, the devil's nightmare. Well, here we are again, another Q&A with Koloff, questions and answers, where we flip it around, where normally, you know, on the Man Up show, I'm typically asking all the questions, and the interviewee is providing all of the answers, or we're having a conversation. But today on Q&A with Koloff, we flip the table here, and so with me today is Scott Neri. Welcome to Q&A with Koloff, Scott.
Oh, it's great to be here, Nikita.
Great to have you here. We met just a while back, and I'm fascinated by your background and your story. I mean, you got a whole sports background as well as a ministry background, right?
We do a lot of evangelism training.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but prior to evangelism training, which actually I'm sitting here looking at you, you're still in pretty good shape.
Try me, man.
Yeah, because you've worked in the past, for those who maybe don't know, you've worked with the Carolina Hurricane, the Carolina Panthers, you've worked with NASCAR, all kinds of pro athletes, special athletes, and what, specializing in what?
Well, I would say deep tissue sports massage therapy.
Okay,
we called it neuromuscular therapist.
And you went to school in, as I remember, in Canada for that.
Yeah, I went to train in Canada for that. It was a special school, and basically, I would do a lot of. I'd be the guy that would hurt you and fix you.
you would hurt me in a good way.
Yes,
that hurts.
My therapy was never pleasant.
But you were like, oh, but you're gonna feel so much better. Absolutely. Like a day from now,
right?
two days from now,
right?
I used to do that in the ring. You know, I would hurt you and go, oh, you'll get over it. you will improve from this Russian sickle. Just
there
so you
know,
because I knew you grew up. You had told me you grew up as a wrestling fan.
And,
and we're gonna get into some questions here in just a minute. But I want our listeners to know a little bit about who's asking the questions, right?
Right.
So you're originally a West Virginia guy, go to school, went to a Bible college, you go to a massage school in Canada, which is interesting. I think I recall you telling me you had some special Israeli training or something, on top of all this.
So I'm a Krav Maga instructor.
Okay.
It's Israeli self-defense. And me being a preacher, I tell people this way. So I'm training Israeli self-defense so I can actually kill you and raise the dead at the same time.
like that. I can take you out, but I can also lay hands on you. And like Lazarus, I can raise you back to life.
There you go.
I take you out. Well, you know, that's a very extensive background. I know you're a family man. You got a lovely wife.
Yep, Marcy.
Marcy, five children.
Five kids and two mastiffs.
Yeah. Seven kids. You got seven kids.
Yeah.
What are your children's names?
Oh, they got unique names. So we got Alex.
Okay.
We got Andrew. We've got Daxton. We've got Mazak and Trinity.
Okay, those are interesting.
Yes.
And is there a quick story behind the unique names?
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay,
I guess the most unique name is the one that's named Mazak.
Okay.
It actually is a Slavic name, which means to rub or to smear or to anoint.
Yeah.
And Marcy liked that name because no one else had that name. My wife likes picking names that no one else knows.
You know what's interesting, Scott, is that, you know, every name has a meaning, right?
Absolutely.
Now I'm thinking a lot of people have no clue what their name means.
Right.
But every name has a meaning.
It really does.
And even if you go all the way back to the Israel, Hebrew, Jewish roots of I mean, the names, they didn't just name a kid just whatever. Oh, let's roll the dice and just throw. I mean, they were very strategic about what they named their children and then how that name and what it meant and then how it kind of set them up for life in a sense, right?
Right. Well, see, my name is Scott, which is my middle name. My first name is Roger.
Okay, okay, my so middle initial is S, just there, so you know. There you yeah, go. Yeah. So we have something in common there.
There you go. We do. So, well, so my name, Sir Roger, actually means famous spearman or okay, spear thrower, someone who throws a javelin.
Okay.
And Scott means from Scotland or from afar.
So, okay.
So basically,
are you Scottish?
There's Scottish and Irish in me, yes.
Okay. Hey, we see we have yeah, high five on that. We go. Have something else in common.
There you go. I thought you were Russian.
Well, I am. Especially back in the days when you loved to hate
me.
Growing up in West Virginia.
Right.
I was that dirty Russian guy, you know, that everyone wanted to hate. But actually, my mom was born on the English-Scottish border in a little village called Hayden outside of the township called Carlisle.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And so English, Scottish, Irish, Swedish. I mean, so there's a mixture there.
Yeah.
I doubt that there's a drop of Russian blood in me. But, hey. It worked for it's still working. So,
well, according to Ancestry.com, I'm actually related to John Wayne.
Well, nice. Well,
that's the Duke.
The Duke.
Yeah.
You kind of walk like him. No, I'm kidding. Well, hey, okay, so let me ask you this, because so your ministry, what's your ministry called?
It's called 420 Fire.
420 Fire. Where can people find out more about 420 Fire?
You go to our website, 420fire.org, and it's based upon 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 20. And I remember you told me you're like 30-something states.
Yeah, we're like in 34 states.
34 states and ten countries?
10 different nations, yes.
10 different nations, and which is cool because this show may go into some of those nations, mm-hmm, and some of your parishioners may hear you in their nation on this show, which is kind of cool.
It is cool.
Tell our listeners just real quick, and we're going to get into your questions, but tell our what is 420 Fire, what do you spend, like somebody goes on your website, or what are you doing in all these different states and all these different nations?
Right. Well, I use it like this. So 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What we do is we train people how to minister not in word, but in power.
Okay.
And so, you know, have you ever gone to the gym and you notice that there's trainers that work there? Well, a lot of people don't realize, a lot of times those trainers don't actually work for the gym. They work for another company that goes to the gym.
Yeah, they're kind of contracted. They're contracted. So
they're specialists.
Okay, okay.
420 Fire is the specialist of evangelism. So what happens, we go in these cities, we work with churches, and they do once a month training in power evangelism. I wrote a book called Power Evangelism that Dr. Michael Brown wrote the foreword to.
Okay.
And I talk all about what we do. So we'll go teach people, okay, what do? Pray for people. This is how you pray for people. This is how the Lord moves. This is how the Holy Spirit works, stuff like that. And then you lead them to the conclusion of who the Lord is, and you invite them into relationship.
Yeah.
So so basically it's once a month meetings of equipping, and you train people. We do outreaches together. So in all these places we're in, there are a lot in churches. A lot of our leaders are actually senior pastors, believe it or not.
Okay.
So, and we do have a couple of churches that are actually full-fledged 420 Fire churches. One is in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
And then we've got one in Phoenix, Arizona, too. And one in Florida. I'm sorry, we have three.
So for our listeners, just give a quick summary then, if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll try my best. Here we go. Well, what 420 Fire is all about is basically to train and equip the body of Christ to be the gospel with legs, to go out and do the works of Jesus instead of talking about Jesus.
Fulfill the Great Commission.
Fulfill the Great Commission. And we do that through once a month outreaches, and also just training people practicality, the skills, what you need to do to actually build relationship, and also how to pray for people.
And Vince Lombardi would say you teach, and it sounds like you teach people the basics.
Yes.
Yeah. So
basic Christianity 101.
101. And actually, like in the book of James, you know, faith without action is like the body without breath, right?
Right.
Well, body without breath is dead.
Right.
So I can have all the faith in the world, but if I don't take any action, so sounds like, so you teach, train, equip, but then you deploy.
Absolutely.
Does that summarize it?
It's totally, you know, think about this, man. I think every person's, like, their secular job is a shadow of their calling. So look at what I've done. My job was a trainer. I got people trained how to be fit. My job.
And how to defend themselves.
How to defend themselves, how to fight. right?
Right.
And also did neuromuscular sports massage, yeah. and it was yeah. actually to be whole, you know. So that's really what we're doing, is we're teaching people how to actually go out into the world and to be salt and light and not salt and vinegar.
Man, that's good. It almost sounds like man camp. It almost sounds like
we're big on
training, exactly. teaching people. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, Lex Luger and I, and I know we've talked a little bit about that, but we'll talk more another time, perhaps. We'll have you on the Man Up show.
That'd be fun.
And talk. Yeah. Show. But, let's do this. Let's flip it around here. Okay. It is Q&A with Koloff, and they're like, when are they ever going to get to his questions? So here we go. Let's flip it around. And I don't really have a clue what you're going to ask, and that's always fun for me. So first question. Fire away.
Okay, first question. Who gave you the hardest chop? Was it Chief Wahoo McDaniel or was it Ric Flair?
I'm going to throw one more name into that mix. Okay. Hands of Stone, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Who?
That was
Hands of Stone.
That
Ronnie? Garvin.
Yes, Ronnie Garvin.
Come on, Ronnie Garvin.
There we go. There we go.
Hands of Stone.
Yeah.
It's almost a toss-up between the three of them, but I would have to, if I had to pick one, Scott, I would say Wahoo for sure.
Yeah.
Although Flair left plenty of handprints on my chest.
Yeah.
Plenty of handprints. In fact, I'll tell you a real quick story. And because I was chopped by all three.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hands of Stone, that he lived up to his name. Let me just say that. I mean, his hands.
Did he clench his fist when he did it, or did he keep his hand open?
Well, hand open typically, but yeah. it was like a over the head, like
wow.
bam, you know, yeah. on your chest or whatever.
Yeah.
Wahoo, kind of more of the old Indian chop
yeah.
kind of thing, and then of course Flair, you know, Hawaii,
yeah,
wrestling in Hawaii, main event, Ric Flair, and long story short, I was out on the beach too long the day before. The day of.
Oh, you were sunk.
The day before and the day of. I looked like a lobster. I mean, I was toast. I mean, I would. And I'm like, dude, no chops tonight, man. Look at me. I could barely move, right? You know? I later found out, truth be known, I had sun poisoning. Like, I was out that way.
Anyway. And you had to wrestle.
Main event.
Oh, my God.
Against Flair. And, you know, I never wrestled, I don't think, less than 30 minutes against him ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, champ, no chops tonight, man, like for real. He's like, yeah. Ask me what the very first thing that cat did. Rick, I owe you one. I'm just saying. I don't think I ever gave you a payback for this. He backs me in the corner right after the ring the bell, start the match, backs me in the corner. You know, he backs up, you know, bam. I mean, he lays down my... I think that stung more than any chop I had ever received, even
wow.
with Wahoo. And man, I tore after him, and he scooted out of the ring like,
wow.
ha, 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 you know? And so.
Was his figure four leg lock, how painful was that?
So the figure four leg lock, I mean, you really, if you don't know what you're doing, you can really hurt somebody and injure somebody.
Yeah.
Like in many of the moves in wrestling, if you don't know what you're doing, you can hurt somebody.
Right.
Ask Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to give a pile driver, you can break somebody's neck.
Yeah.
Well, he had his neck broke, not once, but twice, from what I understand.
Wow.
And from somebody who didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
The figure four leg lock, it's a real deal. I mean, you can really put the screws to somebody, really put the pressure on somebody.
Mm.
Now, that's not the intended outcome in a wrestling match, because we're trying to give the impression we're trying to maim somebody, but not really, right?
Right.
So you do have to know what you're doing. The figure four leg lock could hurt if he wanted to have a little fun with you. Of course, in wrestling, there was always the term payback. So if you, what we said, potatoed someone or hurt someone accidentally, you knew there was what we called a receipt coming back. So or could come back.
Yeah.
The guy could pay you back for that potato.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, good question.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, another question I have for you is the gimmick. All right. So,
the gimmick.
So, you started to try to speak Russian.
Okay. I portrayed a Russian guy.
You portrayed a Russian guy.
That was, yep, that was my
now,
gimmick.
Where did you get your, did you practice in the mirror and like, I must break you. I mean, how many hours did you practice this gimmick by yourself? That's what I'm curious, because people don't know what the time that you do behind the scenes to develop this gimmick.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that I recall in standing and looking in a mirror as much as I got a Russian cassette tape back in the day. For those of you young enough don't know what that is, go Google that, cassette tape. I literally got hands on a Russian cassette tape and a Russian workbook. So I could learn some Russian, like I learned how to sign my name in Russian, Nikita Koloff. That's the only way I used to sign it. I used to sign it with the Russian letters.
No way.
Yeah, I didn't sign it in English early on, no matter what I was signing. That's how I signed it. In fact, there was a collector's cup out there at the 7-Elevens or something one year, had the Road Warriors were on one, I was on one, whatever. And you'll see my name on there in Russian for those who... They're still out there. I've seen them.
So cool.
I actually have one.
Yeah.
And it was about a 6-month period before I actually learned my first English word, you know, because I was just off the boat. So I had to, and I've come a long way.
You just stared there and looked at it. You had that chain around you.
I had
all
the chain, no shirt. Yeah. I would have a very intense look.
Yeah.
That would try to intimidate not only my opponent, but anyone else who I came in contact with.
Right, right.
So it was over a 6-month period that it was more like just kind of in my head, Scott, like, right. If I really was from there, how would this word sound? And that's how, like some people say, you when you would talk about Magnum TA, it didn't sound like you said the word Magnum. Well, I didn't. Intentionally, I said MAGA TA. I'm going to crush you, Magatia. Because I wanted people to think, oh, he can't say Magnum because he's just learning English.
Yeah, yeah.
But also an insult him by saying maggot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, maggot.
Take a page out of Sergeant Slaughter's book, you maggot. But or Flair, right? I mean, if I'm really familiar, am I going to be able to pronunciate Flair? So I said, Ric Flair. Ric Flair. Ric Flair. I'm going to destroy you. You know, so just awesome. In my mind. So I go up and down the roads, listen to the cassette tape, and then just think in my mind, if I really was from there, how would this word sound? How would this phrase sound? Yeah. How would all so?
Yeah,
that's how it evolved.
Right.
In fact, let me just tell you this real quick. There were some people who, back in the days of VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. Now again, I know some of you might have to Google that as well.
VHS.
What is a VHS tape? people would record the shows.
Yeah.
They go, Nikita. And I hear all these stories now at all the autograph signings and stuff that I do, Comic-Cons and all those things. And they go, we'd record the show and play it back and forth, going, he's trying so hard. What is he trying to say? Because the words were so muffled or so slurred away that I wanted. And I've gone back and looked at a couple and went, what was I trying to say there? I didn't even know. Right. But anyway.
Well, who was your favorite commentator?
Man, that's a great question. Because there's some really good ones. I mean, AEW now, you know, has two legends, Tony Schiavone and
that used to be my nickname, by the way.
Yeah?
They used to call me Schiavone.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
All your friends did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Schiavone.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why.
That's interesting.
We're in West Virginia, man. Nothing makes sense where we're at. Okay.
All right. That's another show for another time. We'll have to come back. We'll have to have you on another show. So Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross, of course, JR.
Yeah.
But Bob Caudle, man. People loved Bob Caudle, for those who didn't know that name. Of course, the legend of... Gordon Solie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the legend of wrestling announcing. But there were a lot of good ones. And
did Mean Gene ever work with you?
No. Well, I take that back. I did a few appearances for AWA back in the day. He may have still been with them. Mm-hmm. I can't remember for sure. He may have already gone. So, no, I never did anything. But, little unknown fact, Mean Gene Okerlund graduated high school from the same high school.
No way.
Yeah, a few years before me, but he was from Robbinsdale High School. So was Vern Gagne.
Wow.
Along with seven others in my own.
Didn't like Rick Rude come from your era?
Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig, Barry Darso, John Nord, Tom Zink. Brady Boone.
Everybody
Nikita
from Minnesota.
Yeah, it was the minerals in the water tower.
It's got to be because, I mean, you guys produce some major wrestlers.
You're a health guy, so you would relate to that. It was all the minerals in the water tower.
Right.
Exactly. In Robbinsdale,
right.
Minnesota.
Right.
Moscow, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So what else? So we got what else you got? We got time for another question.
Yeah, okay. So as far as did you ever wrestle Greg Valentine?
I'm sure you're talking about Hands of Stone. Yeah. Now we got the Hammer.
Yeah,
the Hammer. Greg the Hammer. The Hammer Valentine.
Yeah, because
My guess is to say yes, because we were around.
Because he's a believer now, I understand.
He had made a profession of faith. Yeah. In fact, I have we did an outreach one time called Night of Legends,
yeah.
And we had a wrestling show. We did this in Virginia. We recorded for TV. It was TV formatted called Night of Legends. People can actually get this on my website. Go to koloff.net,
yeah.
And you'll get a wrestling, the Night of Legends, that has a bunch of matches, but then it has Ivan Koloff's testimony, my testimony, Greg the Hammer's testimony, and a number of testimonies. So it's kind of an evangelism tool
for
wrestling
cool.
fans.
Right.
Night of Legends. A DVD. All that to say, so I feel yes, I did, but yeah. I mean, going back, you wrestle so many guys, like, I forgot I wrestled Diamond Dallas Page.
You did.
I did, wow. Yeah. I mean.
Well, and I know I've told you this before. I think my biggest memory of you was when you Russian sickled Sam Houston and he completely backflipped.
He did what you might say a 360.
That was epic, man.
Yeah. It's burned in your memory.
Oh, it is because I actually tried. You know. I bet you it is. Now, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think he's following the Lord right now.
I'm not sure. I haven't run into him. I saw him recently at a school. There's a wrestling school by Lodi, who was part of the Ravens flock back in the 90s, Nitro Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Lodi, who I've had on the Q&A show. I saw Sam pop up recently at his school helping out some guys. So I don't know what that means, but I'm not sure.
What was your favorite venue to wrestle at? What place or city was like some of your...
Baltimore, Maryland.
Really? Why?
Two-day Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament, Dusty and I, the Thupa Power, if you will, became the Crockett Cup champion.
Yeah.
With cool. Nikita Koloff and the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
I love how he talked.
Became the Thupa Power, if you will.
What was he like, Dusty Rhodes, personally?
I had a heart for the man and fell in love with the guy and his family. And of course, Cody's doing amazing things with AEW. Yeah. And Dustin and I just enjoyed my time with him. But Baltimore by far, because we won the Crockett Cup Tag Team Tournament there.
Yeah.
But secondly, the short version of the story is Crockett had the brainchild of Flair and I wrestling two main events in Richmond, Virginia, and Baltimore, Maryland on the same night.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And so we wrestled before intermission in Richmond, which the fans were not happy about, a world heavyweight title match before intermission. Little did they know we had to get on a plane and fly to Baltimore and wrestle and duplicate that in Baltimore that same night. We stepped in the ring. The show there started at 8:00. The show in Richmond started at 7:00. It took longer than you meant. Private planes, limousines, the whole deal, to and fro. But didn't matter. We stepped into the ring. Show started at 8 in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. He and I stepped in the ring after wrestling 30, 40 minutes in Richmond. I looked at the clock. It was 12 midnight. So people had already been there 4 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
We finished the match. I looked at the clock. 12:55 in the morning.
Wow.
So we wrestled 55 minutes in Baltimore. The fans are on their feet the whole time. And I just fell in love with the fans of Baltimore. I'm like, these guys are amazing.
Wow.
And so those two, and I just love the Inner Harbor and Sabatino's in Little Italy. Yeah. One of my all-time favorite Italian. Shout out to Sabatino's, Little Italy, Baltimore. One of my favorite all-time places to eat.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So there are a lot of other towns I really honestly enjoyed wrestling in. Obviously, Greensboro, Charlotte bring so much history and so many stories in those towns, from Starcade to the Great American Bash to my turn becoming a good guy to beating Magnum for the Best of 7.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history in a lot of towns and that I have fond memories
of. So who was the biggest practical joker in most of the wrestlers in your day?
I mean, there were a bunch of them. There honestly were. Probably the first name pops into my mind is Rick Steiner.
Oh yeah,
Rick Steiner. Him and his brother Scott Steiner, yeah. but Rick, and Rick was what they call a shooter. I mean, he was a hooker. I mean, in other words, he had an extensive amateur background. Mm-hmm. So you really didn't mess with Rick, even if he messed with you.
Yeah.
You better be prepared because he knew how to he could tie you up in a pretzel and not let you loose.
Yeah.
I would need a guy like you to come in and do deep tissue massage right. once Steiner got done with me if you messed with him.
Wow.
But he was in my mind, he's the first name that comes to mind. So
that's amazing.
Q&A with Koloff, man. Scott Neri.
Yeah.
Here great. With me, Pastor Scott Neri. Tell people real quick one more time, how can they find out about your ministry?
They can go to our website, 420fire.org.
420fire.org. Check out the 420 Fire Church in Kannapolis, North Carolina.
Yeah, we're based there. Yeah.
And we got to have you back sometime, okay?
Oh, I'd love that, man.
Q&A with Koloff. Thanks for dialing in. God bless you. Have an amazing day.
PSA, public service announcement. Coming soon. It's coming. It's coming. Hey, if you have enjoyed the Man Up radio show and or the Man Up podcast, tune to MorningstarTV.com to catch the new Man Up show on TV. That's right, MorningstarTV.com. Be sure to tune in.
This is the Truth Network.